Our preacher, Ken Burvey, has picked two lessons from the Bible. The first from the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, from the book of Genesis, chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. If you'd like to follow along, well, whether or not you'd like to follow along, it's on page 8 of the Old Testament. So there it is if you'd like it. Hear these words. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which mortals had built. And the Lord said, look, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there, so that they will not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Next reading comes from the New Testament, the book of Acts. If you'd like to join me, it's on pages 111 and 112 of the Bible. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? And in verse 11, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. First off, I'd like to say thank you to each and every one of you for every opportunity I get to be a part of this church, to be a member of this church, and to work for you and to work for the message of Jesus Christ. I also want to thank Will. He's given me the opportunity to come up today and give a message that I believe the Holy Spirit has been working on in me for some time. It's a message for this church because this church has been so blessed. We've been blessed with many other congregations that speak different languages. I wanted to ask you all one question first, though. Wie gefällt der Glasse? Ja? Nicht? Nicht. Nicht haben? No? I take it you don't speak German. Okay? I'll try something different. How about Korean? 안녕하세요. 어떻게 지내세요? 네? Hola. Hola, amigos. ¿Cómo está? Ah, bien, bien. All right. It's a good start. I wanted to say that, and I'm going to come out and be myself a little bit today, so hope you don't mind. I'd like you all to take a vacation with me this morning, but it's a vacation up here in our minds. If it helps you, feel free to close your eyes and pick a spot. I really don't care where you go. I know where I'm going to go. Just as long as where you go, they don't speak English or any other language that you might know. I want you to imagine in your minds that you're on vacation. You're having a wonderful time. You just spent a day out sightseeing and shopping, seeing the wonderful place that you've taken the time to visit. And now as the day gets later, you decide it's time to head back to the hotel, time to end your day. And as you look around, you realize nothing looks very familiar. In fact, you don't see any taxis going by, the buildings don't look familiar, and as you realize, you're lost. This, I don't know if it's happened to many of you, but it's happened to me. And so you spend some time walking around, trying to find your bearings, but you can't figure out which way is north, east, south, west, where the hotel is, and you don't see any friendly faces. You think, well, maybe I'll try and talk to somebody and get some instructions, but when you ask people questions, you just get a shrug and maybe something in a foreign language and they walk away. Now, after a while, this starts getting a little unnerving, perhaps a little scary. See, the sun's going down, and you know that it's going to get kind of dark and kind of cold, and you're not amongst friends. And then a man comes walking up to you, just as you're starting to really feel scared, and he says in broken English, "Hello, can I help you?" Now, I don't know about you, but that sense of relief of hearing someone speaking in English is amazing to me. I know that things are going to work out all right. And the day ends where this friend, this new friend, helps you find a hotel, helps you find a taxi and get you back to your hotel. And the reason I bring you into this imaginary visit is that we here in America are surrounded by people who don't speak English. In fact, this church has people in it whose English is not very good, if any English at all. Now, this is a very important message, and I think this goes back to the Old Testament story the pastor read, where God came down and saw what the people were doing because they spoke one language. And God said, because they speak one language, nothing is impossible to them. And so he split it apart. He scattered everybody and he made them speak in different languages so they couldn't do the things they did. Now, in the New Testament story, the Holy Spirit comes down and does just the opposite. The Holy Spirit comes down and makes everybody, whether they realize it or not, speak in other languages so that everybody around them can understand what they're saying. Now, if I may, Will, would you mind helping me? I don't know if many of you know this, but at one time I thought about becoming a teacher. I don't know how I ended up becoming a plumber instead, but I did. So today, if you'll bear with me, we do have a little lesson. We have an opportunity to break down some of that language barrier here at Burns. Now, there's three basic phrases that I've learned over time that can really make a difference. Three simple things. Hello, how are you, and thank you. Hello breaks the barrier. If you hear someone say hello in English, you hope that they can speak other things in English as well, but it makes you feel comfortable. So if you can say hello to someone else in their language, it can make them feel comfortable as well. How are you is just a basic, it shows you care. It shows you actually have interest in how that person's doing. It means something more than just a casual passing hello.
and thank you above all other forms of politeness. Thank you not only shows appreciation for somebody who maybe held the door for you, but it also shows respect. Respect is something I think sometimes is sorely lacking. And so today I'm going to give us the opportunity to practice some three things. The first one being, of course, hello. In English, we say hello. You guys can do better than that. English is your own language. Hello. Our Tongan friends, they taught us this a couple weeks ago. Maloa lele. Our new Ghanaian fellowship, many of them speak a language called Chui. And in that, this isn't how they spell it, but this is how you pronounce it. Mache. Many of our friends from the Congo, who we see here every week, the easiest way to say hello in Swahili is Jambo. Now, our Korean fellowship is no longer with us, but they're still here from time to time. In fact, we're going to be working with them all this summer on VBS. So, in Korean, hello is Annyeong. Not onion, Annyeong. And, of course, I tell you, one of these days, it's just a matter of time, there will be a Hispanic fellowship somewhere here at Burns. Whether they're joining us every Sunday or whether they're sharing the building with us, there will be a Hispanic fellowship. And I hope you all will say to our Hispanic friends, hola. Very good. Now, I have on these papers how to say how are you and how to say thank you as well. I'm not going to spend all your time doing that. But I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that later. The fact of the matter is, on the day of Pentecost, I got the wrong Bible. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down and did something that had never been done before. You see, the apostles did not plan to go speak in foreign languages that morning. I don't think they all sat down that morning and Peter said, okay, John, you're going to take Chinese, and Simon, you're going to take Swahili. I'll do the Spanish thing. Now let's go out and preach the gospel. They simply showed up that morning, and they were spending time, probably as they usually do, praying and singing and eating and opening themselves up to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came down. The Holy Spirit came down and did something that hadn't been done in thousands of years. He got them to all speak languages. He got them to get up, walk out the door, and start speaking in foreign languages. Now, of all the things I'm throwing out at you this morning, if you get one thing, I hope this is what you get. The Holy Spirit made them speak in foreign languages. Now, why would God do that? The fact of the matter is that the gospel of Jesus Christ is too important for just the Jews. Right outside their door were people from other nations who spoke other languages. And God was saying, the good news of Jesus Christ is too important for just those who speak Greek or Roman or Latin. And He's telling us today that the good news, the peace and the love and the hope and the saving grace of Jesus Christ is far too important for just people who speak English. And just as 2,000 years ago, there were people right outside their door who didn't speak English or didn't speak Hebrew or didn't speak Greek. Right today, right outside this door in our neighborhood, there are people who, one, don't speak very good English, and two, have never heard the good news of Jesus Christ. The mission, the great commission of Jesus Christ to go and make disciples of all the nation does not just mean going out to other countries and making disciples. It starts right outside our door. And it starts with us. Now, in the Old Testament, Adam broke the relationship between man and God. But in the New Testament, Christ reestablished the relationship between man and God. And in the Old Testament, God severed the languages of man to confuse them and to send them out in the world. And in the New Testament, God sent the Holy Spirit to make people speak one language again. Because the good news of Jesus Christ is far too important. Now, the way I see it, we have three options this morning. The first option is to all stay in here in the church, and we'll pray, and we'll sing, and we'll fast, and we'll wait for the Holy Spirit to come rushing through the church and touch each of us, and we'll speak different languages, and we'll walk out the door, and we'll go out and spread the gospel throughout the neighborhood. It could happen. Might take a while. There's a second option, I think, is a little more easy to take. I'm going to take these, and I'm going to put them up on the wall in the parlor, and then I'm going to grab a donut and a cup of tea, and I'm hoping each and every one of you will come in there, and I can practice on you. And you can practice on each other. And you can practice on me. And we can all practice screwing up the pronunciations of other languages. But it's much easier to do that with friends than it is to do with strangers. It's a good opportunity for us to just share and do some different things. Now, there's a third option, which I don't like. But that is, you can forget it. Forget everything I've said. You can get up at the end of the service and go out the door, get in your car, and go about your way. You can make an excuse. You can say, I'm too busy, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too stubborn. You could say, I'm sorry, but I'm not called to do that. Well, the way I see it is that we have the Bible right in front of us. We've all opened it and read the words. You've all heard the word preached from this pulpit. I would say, consider yourselves called. Now, to each, we are called in our own separate ways. Paul said we are each called with our own gifts. And I like the way Oswald Chambers says in his book, My Utmost for His Highest, he says, discipleship comes with an option. We can all decide how we're going to answer it. God, in His infinite wisdom, has given us the free will to decide how we're going to answer His call. But make no mistake about it, the gospel of Jesus Christ is calling. Do you like ice cream? Anybody here like ice cream? Hey, how about that? I'm sorry, it was kind of unfair. I asked you that question once before earlier, but I asked you in German. So, I hope you will forgive me. But the point I was trying to get across is a simple point. But sometimes when we limit ourselves to just thinking of doing things the way we're comfortable or doing things the way we've always done it, we can miss out on some good things. I've been in positions where I've been surrounded by people who speak German, and if I'd known they were offering me ice cream and didn't know it, I might have missed out on that. Now, I do have one last word that I hope you will indulge me in saying. I hope it's a word we can all say together. And I hope you will all say it with all your hearts. It's actually a reversal of this kind of thing. This is a word that you all know. But it's a word in a foreign language. In fact, everybody I know that speaks any language pretty much knows this word that I've met. It's an old Hebrew word. It's an ancient Hebrew word that loosely translated into English means, may it be so. Will you say it with me? Amen. Amen? Amen. May it be so.